The word of God, when we come before God's word and we read his word and when we bow before the Lord in prayer, that God is working. And if there are inconsistencies between what we do and what we say, God is going to bring them out. And see, that's why some people don't want to get into the word of God. That's why they don't want to be exposed to the word of God, because they don't want to be confronted with their issues. They don't want to be convicted by the fact that they are hypocrites.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of It Ain't Hip to Crit. Before we begin today's message, we've been offering a book that I've written, Touched by the Breath of God, and this book deals with how to defend the Bible. The Bible is coming under attack today, and we as Christians need to be able to stand up and defend this blessed book of God. So if you want to have information on how you can do that, contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus Radio Ministry and request the book that I've written, Touched by the Breath of God. Now for the conclusion of It Ain't Hip to Crit.
With something that's in God's word, that you are putting on one front, but your heart is not where the word of God is that. Jesus stooped and wrote something in the dirt with his finger. In this very act, he exposed something about their hypocrisy. Something about it, because what happened? After that, he got up and got down again, and then they all started what? Leaving, one by one. So let me ask you this question. Let's make this practical, right? Hypocrisy is exposed when God writes with his finger, with the finger of his word upon our hearts, and etches conviction with his hand upon our hearts during times of prayer. When God shows us those inconsistencies between our walk and our talk. I like what Beaufort said. If your walkie-walkie don't match your talkie-talkie, then you need to talkie-talkie like you walkie-walkie. Right? The word of God, when we come before God's word and we read his word and when we bow before the Lord in prayer, that God is working. And if there are inconsistencies between what we do and what we say, God is going to bring them out. And see, that's why some people don't want to get into the word of God. That's why they don't want to be exposed to the word of God, because they don't want to be confronted with their issues. They don't want to be convicted by the fact that they are hypocrites. And so... they stay away. It's easier to stay away, so I don't have to deal with my hypocrisy. Now, somebody asked the question, what did Jesus write in the dirt? What did he write? Well, there's been several theories that have put forth, so I just wanted to cover it so I could let you know what's out there, right? Somebody said that he wrote Jeremiah 17:13 in the dirt, which says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So he's saying here, he wrote Jeremiah 17:13, that it says that all who depart from God, that their name will be written in the earth. So maybe Jesus was writing their names along with Jeremiah 17:13. Somebody else said that, well, he wrote, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand in thy hand with the wicked to be a unrighteous witness, Exodus 23. So some people believe that he wrote Exodus 23 in the dirt. It says not to be an unfaithful witness, or a liar, a lying witness, all right? So Jesus stoops down and writes Exodus 23:1. Somebody else said that he wrote the sins of every person that was there that accused this lady, that Jesus wrote down all their sins, right? He just took time. And maybe that's why they left by one, right? That whenever somebody saw their sin, they, oh, He wrote the names of those who had been with the lady. And maybe there were some of those standing right there. The bottom line is that the scripture doesn't tell us what he wrote. So I just thought these were good speculations. Maybe he did write one of these. Maybe he wrote something else. We don't know. But whatever he wrote, it was convicted. Whatever he wrote, it was convicted. And so we see the exposure of hypocrisy is inconsistency with the word of God. If you go back to that exposure of hypocrisy, all right, inconsistency with the word of God. Jesus wrote, they read it, and then they left. You know, I heard a story about a lady who had invited some guests over on a hot day. And she was cooking, and it was hot. And the guests came over, and they were sitting around the table to eat. And she asked her son to pray over the meal. And he said, "I don't know how to pray." She said, "Well, just pray what you've heard me say." And he said, "Lord, why did I invite these people over to eat on this hot day?" All right? The lady got exposed, right? She got exposed. And so a lot of times when we're a hypocrite, you know, we're gonna get exposed. And so let me say this. I meant to say this at the beginning of the message, and I didn't say it. And that's this. You know, it's very easy for us to sit here as I'm preaching this message, and faces of all kind of other people are come up in your mind. Man, that person is a hypocrite. Man, that person is a hypocrite. And they're running through your mind, man. You know, just like a reel on a film, right? It's just running through. And I just want to say, it's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You need to check yourself, right? I mean, we can look and see other people, man. You know, again, you know, I hate to see the slaughter, but I love to eat the meat, right? Can't stand dishonest people, but still sometimes I cheat. I don't like that air pollution, but still I drive a car. Maybe that's the reason things are the way they are. Because we're not checking self. We're not checking self. So when you leave here today, you need to check self. Don't check the people in your community, in your home, on your job. You check yourself. The exposure of hypocrisy. And then finally we see the evidence of hypocrisy. Look at verse 9. The evidence of hypocrisy. "And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience." Now notice that. The evidence. What was the evidence? A convicted conscience. A convicted conscience. See, some of us are hypocrites and we know it. We know it. But we're going to be like these guys right here that went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus writing in the dirt caused these men to be convicted by their own conscience. Once their hypocrisy was exposed and conviction hit their heart, they walked away. They walked away. Now, my challenge to you is when our hypocrisy has been exposed, and God has placed his hand of conviction upon our hearts, we can walk away and do nothing about it. I don't know if the text seems to indicate that they did absolutely nothing about their hypocrisy. Nothing. And when we are convicted of being hypocritical, we can walk away. Shake the dust off our hands and do nothing about it. Which, saints, I hate to say this, But I believe that's the testimony of a lot of believers today, that God shows them their hypocrisy, and that instead of dealing with their hypocrisy, one by one, we walk away. We walk away. I mean, even in the little things, you know, again, people say, well, I'm not going down to that church. All there is just a bunch of hypocrites down there. Well, I've never heard anybody say, well, I'm not going to Walmart anymore. Yeah. You know, the greeter standing out there, he's the biggest hypocrite in the world. He didn't even shake my hand, right? Or the person at the register didn't even smile at me and say thank you. But somehow, I guess the church is supposed to be different. Maybe that's why people have a problem with hypocrites in the church. But then if that's the case, I'll say this. Why don't you come on down and just add one more to the group? Come on down. How they say it on The Price is Right? Come on down and be one more to the group. So what do you do with your hypocrisy? Now, there was a way that they would test whether something that was cracked and sealed with wax, if it had been taken care of, covered over, they would hold it up to the light. And if they saw that there was no crack, they would say that this plate or this vessel was sincerity. It was sincere. The word sincere, we use the word all the time. You know what the original meaning of the word sincere is? Without wax. Without wax. It means that you're not covering anything up. That you are real with the people around you, and that you are real with God. Well, you know, it don't make any difference if you're real with God or not, because He already knows. He already knows. I'm gonna show you that in a second. But let me share with you three dangers. Three dangers with hypocrisy. There's the inward danger. That when you're a hypocrite, there's the inward danger, and that is self-deceit. See, sometimes it's easier to see the sins of others before we see our sins. This means we must inspect our lives, that we look for glaring sins before we can point out another's sin. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment is you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Hey man, look, you got a little speck in your eye. Come here, let me help it out. Well, how are you gonna help me out, man? You got a telephone pole in front of your face. How can you help me? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? What's the first two words? Thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. First cast the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, this doesn't mean that if somebody is in sin, that we can't hold them accountable. That's not what it's talking about. But what it's talking about is that, you know, you need to deal with yourself. That you know, in Galatians 6:1, it says that you, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, that you go restore him. You try to help him come back. And so we know that God wants us to help others, to deal with others who are struggling, who are dealing with sin. God wants us to help them. But God also wants us to deal with ourselves. And that before we deal with ourselves, I mean, before we help somebody, deal with yourself. And just say, you know, Lord, It seems like here goes. I hate to have to say this. I really hate to have to say this. But some people are going to say, well, see, that's why I'm not going to approach anybody. Because who am I? You know, I got a telephone pole in my eye. Why can't I? That's why you need to deal with it. So that's what the body of Christ is all about. The body of Christ is about healthy people helping to build up the weaker ones. And if you want to limp around in this lame Christianity, not able to help anybody, man, I'd hate to have to stand before God and say, well, you know what? I didn't want to approach anybody else because, you know, I had something wrong with my life and I wasn't going to deal with the stuff that I had in my life. That's pretty poor. But I guarantee you, and so y'all can get me afterwards. You know, they already said that, you know, talked about stoning this morning. So you've probably stoned me. I'm ready to go to glory. But I'm going to say this. I guarantee you. Let me say, take it off of Bethany and just put it in any church. I guarantee you that half of the people sitting in any church on a given Sunday, Saturday, whenever they have their worship service, are sitting there knowing that they can't go to anybody else and help them deal with their issue because you got your own issues that you're dealing with, right? You don't have to say amen. I know it. I know it. How do I know it? Because I deal with people every day. I deal with people every day. And so we need to realize to not let the fact that, you know, we got issues keep us from doing what God would have us to do. And so we need to deal with those issues. And so self-deceit, inwardly, hypocrisy. You know, we deceive ourselves and we think we got it together. And hypocrisy becomes a problem there. The second danger with hypocrisy is the outward. The first is inward. The second is outward. And when believers live hypocritical lives, it affects those around them. Unethical business. Cheating on your taxes. Living immoral lives. Abusive to family members. Right? People see that stuff. First of all, you cause other believers to stumble, as we read in the book of Romans, right? And then not only that, God forbid that somebody that's unsaved see you being hypocritical. Because the first thing that they're going to say, if that's what that's all about, I don't want any of that. Why should I follow that God? If that's what it looks like, you know, they can keep that. I don't want that. I'm not going to turn to the verse, but in Genesis 19, in verse 14, the angel came down to Lot because God was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he told Lot to get his family, get them out. Get them out because the fire and brimstone is getting ready to come down. Lot's daughters went with him. Lot's wife went with him. But Genesis 19:14 says that he went to his sons-in-law. And it says that they didn't go because they saw his testimony. That what the way he lived did not impact and influence their lives. And so there was something about his life that they saw that wasn't lining up. And so, just ask yourself this question, that if there was no evidence that God was going to destroy the city of Pittsburgh, no evidence at all, but just the fact that an angel came to you and said that, now this is hypothetical, right? Some of y'all say, come on, man, it's a hypothetical situation, right? Angel came to you and said that I'm getting ready to rain fire and brimstone down on Pittsburgh. And you need to go to your family. And you need to tell them that God said that they need to get out. You go, based on your testimony, based on your testimony, would they listen to you? Or would they go back and say, look, man, you know, you're telling us about something that God said. You're not even doing what God said. Now you won't come and try to tell us what God said. Right? Would they go? Would they go? I'm not saying that, not based on the hardness of their heart. Maybe their heart is hard and they're not going to go. But I'm saying based on your testimony, would they go? See, the dangerous directions of hypocrisy. And finally, the last direction of hypocrisy is upward. Is upward. And the upward direction of hypocrisy, it dishonors God. That when you are a hypocritical person, God is dishonored. And I don't have time to read those scriptures right now, but Isaiah 29:13, Matthew 15:13, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Thou hypocrite! Thou hypocrite! God said you dishonor him when you're a hypocrite. You dishonor him. The Lord can see right through hypocrites. They can't fool him. Even though a hypocrite cannot fool God, he can still dishonor God. You might not fool God, but you can dishonor God, saying that you are living for the Lord and not doing it is dishonoring to the Lord. How do you overcome hypocrisy? How do you overcome? How do you overcome hypocrisy? How do you deal with it? Real quick. Inspect your life daily for seeds of hypocrisy. Come before the Lord every day. And if there's a seed of hypocrisy, you need to deal with it. Right? You need to deal with it right then and not let it grow into a full-blown plant. Ask the Lord to reveal to you any hypocrisy in your life. Come before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, am I a hypocrite? Lord, are there things in my life that are hypocritical? Confess your hypocrisy to the Lord. Submit your life to the Word of God. If my life is submitted to the Word of God, then God is going to point out hypocrisy from His Word in my life. And then finally, before being judgmental of others' hypocrisy, thank the Lord for being patient with your hypocrisy. Before being judgmental of others' hypocrisy, thank the Lord for being patient with your hypocrisy. Now, I'm going to show you a word that nobody should get. We don't want anybody to get this award. Certificate of Hypocrisy. This award certifies that the following named person, hopefully your name is not in it, right, is a hypocrite of the first order. Wow. Wow, a hypocrite of the first order. Saying one thing and doing the opposite. So we have these certificates on the table as you leave. No, we are. So hypocrisy is real. And it faces all of us. And again, I can't stand to see the slaughter, but I love to eat the meat, right? So there's a little bit in all of us. There's a little bit in all of us.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of the introduction to the names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, It Ain't Hip to Crit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request your copy of It Ain't Hip to Crit. That's anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.